Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, how many of you are good listeners? Good listeners? A lot of us like to talk. We love talking and getting our opinions out there and letting people maybe know how smart we are. But sometimes we don't listen. And I felt that's what I needed to share with you this morning. That some of you have been reaching out to God and waiting for an answer, whether it be in maybe you're going through some type of a physical condition, financial, maybe you're having issues with your family, whatever that may be, and you've been calling out to God and you haven't heard anything back. And so I really felt that this morning, if you listened to that small voice, that you would get an answer to what you've been praying for. Whether it be through the worship as you come into His presence, whether it be something that Pastor Henry's going to say today that was just that right word that needed to come through. He's got different ways of speaking to us. And sometimes I got a feeling you've been waiting and He's been talking. You just haven't been listening. So this morning, just keep your, not these guys, but these guys. Keep it open. Listen with your heart. So please stand with me as we pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this church body, Lord. We thank You for those that You've chosen to lead us into worship, Lord, to give us the words that You've put in our pastor's heart, Lord. That word that is to be conveyed to this body, Lord, that, Lord, that we grow each moment that we meet together, Lord, even as we fellowship with each other, Lord, thank You that someone might have something that we need to hear. So we bless, Lord, what You're doing this day, Lord. We just ask that Your Holy Spirit would flow through each person here this day, Lord. Have Your way with this church body, Lord. We want to do this because You are with us. If You are not, Lord, we might as well go home. So, Lord, we bless what You're doing this day, Lord. We thank You for loving us. And, Lord, that we would come into Your presence this day, Lord. In Jesus' name. Worship, here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you know that we got a God who fights for us, not against us? And it doesn't matter the circumstances or what you're going through, whatever's happening. I just want to encourage you this morning, just go after God. Just worship Him. Give Him the worries, the stress, the burden, anything that you might be feeling this morning. Just give it to Him because He's already taking care of things for you. So often we try to take things into our own hands because we see problems and we want to fix it. And it can seem completely against our nature to just let it go. But that's exactly what God wants us to do, is He just wants us to let it go. Just release whatever it is into His hands so that He can be the one to work the problem for you, because He fights for you. And He's not wanting to leave you where you're at. He's wanting to give you more. And sometimes one of the greatest things that we can do when we're in a battle is just worship Him. I know for us, our family's been going through some things. And yesterday, this song that we're going to do, I was listening to it. And I loved it. Because I just told God, it doesn't matter what's happening or where we're at in this moment. I'm just so grateful for everything that you've done in my life. Because even in our lowest moments, he's blessed us. He's given us amazing blessings. And sometimes we let our circumstance get in the way of seeing what he's doing in our life. And we just gotta let him be king of it all.
Good morning, everybody. First thing, I had to thank God for everything that he did on this first treatment. That was hard. I'm not gonna say that wasn't hard. But I went through the first week on his hands. That was horrible, but thank God he gave me the strain with all the prayers of all my people that thank you, all of you, and all the prayers. I was in his hands and he told me, you're not alone. Everybody is praying for you and you are in my hands. And I thank God because I know he was with me all the time. It was horrible. That was bad. But I went through the dark valley. But I know that he was with me. And this week, being a nice week, was tough. But there was a better week. Tomorrow I have my second week. But there's gonna be a better one. And I thank God for all of you guys that been praying for me and all the people that with me. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that are with me. Thank you guys.
I'm so happy they just did that song, Gratitude. That's like my favorite song right now, and I just sing it at the top of my lungs, but I love that part where it says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, you've got a lion inside of you, because that's my testimony. Anyone that knows me, when I was little, I was so shy, so shy. And some of you knew me when I was little, so they can attest to that. But thank you for doing that. Come on, worship team. Thank you. Okay. I came up here because this is Ben, if you don't know him.
Yeah.
You got something to say?
Yeah.
What?
So we were at my and I played on my tablet.
Okay. I came up here to share something. Some wisdom that Ben shared with me this week. We were in the truck and we were driving, actually on our way to youth group. And he said, okay, actually, I'm going to ask you this first. Ben, what's a miracle?
It's when something's far away.
It's when something's far away. And what's a theoracle?
It's when something's not happening.
Okay. All right, so let me explain. We were driving. He says, Mom, do you know what it's called when something's far away? And I said, oh, what's it called? And he said, it's called a miracle. And I said, oh, okay. I said, yeah, that's kind of right. And I said, but a miracle is when you think something isn't going to happen, but then it does happen. He goes, no, that's not a miracle. That's a fearicle. And I said, thought about it for a second. I said, yeah, actually, you're absolutely right. Because in his mind, in his brilliant little mind, a miracle is something that is going to happen. It might just be far away. And a fearicle is when you think that miracle isn't going to happen. That's when we doubt, right? And it made me think of Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because that's when we see the miracles, right? There shouldn't be any doubt. Because God can do anything. Anything is possible. The second part of that verse is lean not on your own understanding. Because that's when fear sets in. And that's when we doubt. So I wanted to share that with you. Because if you're praying for a miracle right now, trust in the Lord with all your heart and let it stay a miracle. Don't let it turn into a miracle.
Ooh, give him a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I can do that song all day long. Man, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord.
You know, Lord, how much the Lord takes joy in our praise? Do you know? Do you know how happy he is when he hears the...
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless God.
Amen.
Bless
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
That's a beautiful song.
Amen. Yeah.
I love
Glory
it.
To God. Hallelujah.
We're going to do that every week for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Come on. Praise God. Isn't it good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Oh, God. Folks, I mean, I don't know what to do. Hallelujah. God's given me some stuff for this morning, but I just enjoying the presence of God. Yeah, I may have sensed the presence of God in the house. I'll tell you what, I'm just enjoying God's presence. And how many know God's promise is real? Amen. And, you know, do you believe him? I mean, we talked about this at men's yesterday a little bit, but do you believe God? Do you really believe what his word says? Do you believe what it's saying to you? Hallelujah. I was standing in front of my mirror one morning, and God was talking to me about certain things. I was standing in front of my mirror, and the word he'd been giving me, Rosie and myself, was that we have the dew of our youth upon us. How many of you like that word? I mean, I speak that to my wife all the time. I said, look, you have the dew of your youth upon you. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Is that right? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles, is what the word of God says. He's given you good things in his word so you can speak those words to yourself so that your youth can be renewed as the eagles. Is that right? How many say, man, that's why it's so important you stay in the word of God and look at God's word and see what he's saying so that you can hear and know what he wants you to say. And so I was standing in front of my mirror one morning and I said, yeah, I got the dew of my youth upon me. Turned on the light, looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, yeah, God, but I got gravity against me. So I kind of chuckled there, and I said that scripture one more time. And on the way to work that morning, I was riding in my, you're just going to work, and the Lord asked me a question. He goes, you remember what I did to Enoch? And I said, what, God, what are you talking about? You remember what I did to Enoch? He's, oh yeah, you took him. Yeah. Remember Elijah? Yeah, the chariot came down, picked him up, and carried him away. You remember what happened when the hammer fell in the water with Elijah? And what happened to that hammer? Do you guys remember? It floated. Is that right? How many ever toss a hammer in your swimming pool and try to wait for it to float? Yeah, so them things just don't float. And he said, do you remember when I was walking on the water? I said, yeah, I remember that. And then Peter said, come on, hey, Lord, call me to you. So Peter got out of the boat. How many say, remember that? Remember that? Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he got a little bit distracted by the ocean or by the sea that was around him and everything. I said, yeah, well, Lord, why are you telling me all this? Just I was parking at the mine. And what he was telling, just as I pulled in and parked at the mine, shut off my truck, I said, Lord, what's this about? What are you talking about? He said, I am king over all the earth, and even gravity is subject to me. And so, and I know it came from that comment, well, God, I got gravity against me. You know, I mean, let me just say this to you. The promises are real. God wants you to hold to his promises. Can you say amen to that? Don't let go of any of them. How many of you, from today on, some of you, how many of you are going to say to yourself, hey, I've got the dew of my youth upon me. Two of you on this side. How many over there? Yeah, okay, the rest of you, okay, all right. Yeah, like Pastor John said this morning, listen up, right? Is that right? You got the dew of your youth upon you. That's what the Word of God says. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Yesterday, when Steve and Billy were playing, I felt like I was getting ready to disconnect from the earth. I mean, we had a hawk flying around up there that morning. There was a hawk flying around. He had picked up another bird and was up there ripping it to shreds. And, you know, we're going, what the heck? Is it bad timing, bro? You know? but man, what was that last song you were singing, Steve? What was it? Oh, gosh. I just can't. You are my hiding place. And, folks, I'm telling you, I thought, man, I was going to leave. I thought it was good. I really thought, man, the gravitational pull on me was going to release a little bit. How many say amen to that? If I would have jumped right there, I probably would have kept going. Is that right? That's crazy. I just said all that. I don't know why I said all that. I don't even know. But I'll tell you what, God loves you, and he says, I've given you promises, folks. I've given you promises, sons and daughters. Listen to what my word is saying to you. Just listen. Just pay attention to what I'm saying. We are in a time in our world today that we absolutely need to know what God is saying to us personally. Do you know that? That's why we teach at this church. We are independently dependent on God. You need to know what God is saying to you. Forget about what everybody else is saying. Just so what is he saying to you? Is that okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you are expecting this morning? Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, how many of you are pregnant this morning? The lady said, I'm going to stay away from that. No, but you know, how many know that God wants us to be expecting things? Is that right? But sometimes we don't get things the way we want. How many think? Can you guys say that? Yeah, have you learned that over your years? Have you learned a lot of times you just don't get things the way you want it? Amen? Huh, yeah. You don't get things the way you expected. But is that okay? It's absolutely okay. It's absolutely okay. Especially when you're a child of God, you can trust God for everything. I like what, man, I don't know if I'll get into my message or not, but when Micaiah came up here, man, and she said, and I don't know how, if you remember how, if a lot of you knew how shy it was, I remember. She was in my youth group. She would not say anything. Micaiah, come on. She would do, I'll do anything. She would do anything he asked her to do. But as far as speak or something, she wasn't going to do it. And she's standing up here with her son. And I mean, my heart just, see, the Word of God tells me that my sons and my daughters will prophesy, is what Joel said. My daughter prophesies. A lot of people, some folks don't like it, but I don't care. She don't care. Is that okay? My son prophesies. A lot of people don't. I consider Abe a son. I consider Micaiah a daughter. I consider little young men, young ladies, and all you young men, young ladies in between, those 60-year-old young men, like John, prophesying, amen? And speaking God's word. And bringing glory to God. Ooh, come on, man. It's a promise I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, is what God said, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Whew. Folks are seeing it. It's in the earth. Amen. Praise God. So are you expecting to say things? Are you expecting to prophesy? Get ready. God's going to use your mouth. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to use that mouth. That mouth right there. Point at it. That mouth. Don't look them in the eye. Look at their mouth. Say, that mouth right there. God's going to use that mouth. Come on, man, for his kingdom and for his glory. How many say amen to that? Praise God. Hey, if you will, turn to your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Going to talk about some expectations this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, like the song said, we've got nothing fit for a king. But Lord, we place our hearts before you, God, and we ask you, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts this morning. Father, help me to speak the things you gave me as I was looking at your word last night, Lord. Help me to bring them clear and help people, Father, to just hear what you're saying, Father. I thank you for it this morning. I praise you, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. By who? Was he an Israelite? No. He was a Syrian. He was a Syrian. And how many know God is in control of all people? Amen? This is his earth. Amen? And we are, yeah, we are privileged and honored to live. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone on raids and had brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you I get a kick out, that you might heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how this he seeks a quarrel with me." I love this. Here the king of Israel gets this letter and it says, "Hey, I'm sending you what?" He freaked out. Is that right? That's the word. Freaked out. What? Can you imagine? What? You doing what? I'm sending you. What? Yeah. I can't heal. How many say amen? I could get this guy. John, I'm going to send you my best friend from Tucson. I need you to heal him when he gets to your house. Is that okay? Yeah. What? Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. So it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king of Israel saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." How many know it's good to be confident about who you are? Is that right? The confidence that God gives you about who you are, it needs to stay in you and hold in you. You need to never let it go. What his word tells you, hold that confidence. Amen? And here's this thing. He says, "Just send him to me, man." I love it. I love this story. "Send him to me." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious.
What?
And went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I now wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in a rage. Isn't that cool? See, Naaman didn't get what he expected. How many say amen to that? He expected this guy to come out of the house. Hey, Naaman, I like your parade here, man. You know, it's nice, man. Hey, man. He said he wanted to wave his hands over him. Is that right? Come on, man. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, well, I guess that wasn't yet. That was it. But he said, hey, God of Israel. He wanted a big show. How many say amen to that? And he didn't get it. So it made him mad. But thank God for people that have some wisdom. Amen? Thank God for them. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Simple. Amen? How simple is that? Just go do what he told you to do. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, this is Elisha, he says, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, if not then, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings or a sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon, to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And Elisha said to him, go in peace. So he departed from there. Kind of really cool. I mean, he goes with all this stuff, gets so mad because he didn't come out of the house, but just sent a messenger to tell him what to do. Went and did it. Got healed. Amen?
Amen.
So he goes back and he comes back. I can imagine the humility in him. He comes back. He's all clean. He's all happy. He goes, hey, man, let me give you something. And Elisha says, no, you can't. I don't want it. How many know that Elisha had a provision already? He says, no, I don't want it. And then he tells him, this is kind of weird, huh? He says, hey, let me take two pack mules full of dirt. I mean, he said, isn't that weird? He wanted dirt. You know why he wanted dirt? Somewhere in Exodus, I didn't look it up, but I remember that God had told Moses, don't make me an altar out of hewn stone, cut stone. He said, but make it out of earth. Make the altar out of earth. And so somehow Naaman knew this and asked for dirt from Israel. Kind of weird, huh? Kind of a different story. But Naaman got nothing. It was nothing like what he expected. He didn't expect to wash in that river, in the Jordan River, which is probably dirtier than Pharpar, and I can't remember the name of the other one, but even he himself said, hey, why that one? That's a dirty one. Yeah, well, you're a leper. Just do it, man. Yeah, come on, man. Didn't get what he expected. Let's go to let's go to Where's that? Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Look at this scripture. Here it is. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something. Here's somebody expecting, amen? Naaman was expecting. Now here's this blind man, here's this lame man expecting. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none," amen? "But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. How many say amen? Here's a man that didn't, he got something he wasn't expecting. How many know? He was expecting to see a little trinket. I don't know. Is that the right word, Steve? Chunket? Maybe a little coin tossed in. Something that, you know, he was expecting something. Never was he expecting to get what he received. How many say amen? Ain't God good? God will give you what you didn't expect. Is that cool? God will give you, when he tells you he's going to give you a house, he might give you a whole church building. Is that right? Come on, man. I mean, he knows what you like. He knows what you want. He knows where he wants to take you. He gave me a yellow truck. That's not a Chevy. Yeah. Something I didn't expect. Uh-oh. Just lost the lights over there. Praise God. Sorry. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. How many know it's important to believe the God, Lord's prophets? Is that right? Here, I want to put up 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. This, I like this one because it's 2020 is good eyesight. Is that right? 2020? Yeah, so they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, and this is a good word. Jehoshaphat said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper." How many like that? Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Is that right? Believe. It's a big word. Believe. Do you believe him? Not do you believe in him. Do you believe him? The way you're going to believe him is by reading his word and saying, okay, this is what he says, so that's why I'm going to believe him. Believe him. And he says, believe his prophets, and you will prosper. How many of you know that Jesus was the greatest prophet the world has ever seen? How many of you know that? Is that right? I want you to look at the scripture. This is Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet. See the capital P on that? It's a prophet like no other. He will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst and from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And then verse 18. It's coming. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among them brethren. God was talking to Moses. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. Amen. Notice the capital on the P. Notice the capital on the H. Very, very specific why he's pointing that out. This prophet is going to speak. Do you know that Jesus came to speak to us? Not only did he come to wash your sins away, amen, to die for you, so that you might have eternal life. But he came to present a kingdom on this earth. Do you know that? Randy had a teaching a few months ago now, isn't it? The teaching on the kingdom of God. Is that right? And everything that this kingdom entails. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If there anything we need to be focusing on today is God and what he's saying about his kingdom that's in the earth. I think there's a sad, you know what? I don't know if I gave you this. I didn't. Because this morning when I was going over the, God gave me a scripture and I forgot to write it down. Did I give you Acts 1:6? Did I put that in there? I don't know. Acts 1:6. This was after Jesus had risen from the dead and he was talking with his apostles before he was getting ready to leave. He told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise was that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The promise from the Father was about the Holy Spirit. Wait for that promise. Acts 1:6. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't put it down on there, man. And God gave it to me this morning, and I forgot to write it down. Rosie had a lot of stuff for me to do, so I was cooking, I was mopping, washing dishes, had to go wash her truck. Yeah, and she goes, and when you get done with that, yeah, Acts 1:6, there you go. Acts 1:6 says this, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, this is after Jesus risen from the dead, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I, in my heart, when I looked at the scripture, I felt that this was almost like Jesus telling me, hey guys, how you doing, man? You know, I'm going to tell you about the kingdom. And when they asked him this question, it's almost like he went, were you guys not listening to me? See, this kingdom is not a kingdom, a national kingdom. It is a kingdom worldwide. Do you know that? How many say amen to that? And I believe that their misunderstanding of this was, I think it might have been Jesus, but he said, hey, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's going to lead you and guide you in all these things. He'll show you what you need to do. He will not only be upon you, but he will come in you if you let him. Amen? Hallelujah. So wait for that promise, he says. So here Jesus is talking about that he has come, that he is, this kingdom has come. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Here's one of the things Jesus told us. He said this, wherefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? We say that every Wednesday or Tuesday for Wednesday. Is that right? What are we going to eat? Yeah, Wednesday night we have food on Wednesday, the Bible study usually. And so we come in an hour early to eat. Can you believe that? Like I'm not, like I need to be eating more than what I'm eating. But it says, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says this, and all these things will be added to you. How many say amen? See, and folks, the word is still good for today. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do you get the righteousness? You get that from Jesus. He took your sin upon him. He became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you might be righteous. God wants to give you this kingdom and the righteousness that's in it. And I mean, say amen to that. Hallelujah. But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? How many want things added to you? I mean, hey, I don't need another car. You know what? Some folks need a car. Some folks need another house, a better house, or some folks need, hey, but God says, seek my kingdom and the righteousness I have with it, and watch, I'll bring all these things to you. It's a promise. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor, say, that's a promise. Look at him, look at the one on the other side, say, write it down. That's a promise. Hallelujah. Jesus also said, when he said, this is the way you pray, I want you to pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's the kingdom God is bringing into the earth, and he's saying, hey, there's a kingdom and there's a will to be done in this kingdom. It's God's will. And I've been saying some things lately about this because God has really been talking to me a lot about this. And I've, you know, my son, my daughter, we've been talking, we've been looking at things. And one of the things that God is saying to me, this is a word that I got from, he says, everything that is not rooted in the kingdom is already set to fail. I need to hear that. You need to hear it. Everything that's not in the kingdom is already set to fail. This is what God is saying to the body of Christ today. Everything that's not in the kingdom is already determined by God that it's going to fail. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, well, what about, you know, hey, I work in a hospital and I know they're not built on the kingdom. How about that? That's set to fail. I work in a company, was it Raytheon, right? I work in Raytheon. It's not, that company's not set in the kingdom. It's not rooted in the kingdom. Can you say amen? And what God is saying, it's going to fail. Let me be clear. You're not going to fail. You are rooted in the kingdom. You will not fail. God will not allow you to fail. You are already set for uprising, for going up, for moving forward. But all these things that we're looking at around us today, folks, listen to me. Listen clear. Some folks don't like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what God is saying to the church. Anything that's not connected to the kingdom is set to fail. If you're having problems with certain areas of your life, listen. Seek first the kingdom of God and let God take you out of it. It's kind of a heavy word to say, hey, well, all these things, you're set to fail. But I want you to hear something. We are drawing near to the end of what we know that of what has been a time of grace upon the earth with God saying, okay, you know, hey, I've got a church out there. They're, you know, we got, yeah, man, they're filtering into the world. They're getting into different places in the world. How many say amen to that? There's spirit-filled believers all around this globe now. How many say amen? People praying, people asking God to move, people asking for the presence of God, asking for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I mean, I can't wait to see the glory of God visibly in the earth. How many say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But folks, it's coming. And we're closer than what we realize. Do you know that? Do you realize it? Because I'm going to show you some parables that God has spoken to me last night. Look, these parables are real and they're for real right now. They're not. They went 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, a century ago. The relevancy of these things wasn't showing up like it is today. Because God is getting ready to remove and replace some things. Can you say amen? So listen, folks, what I'm about to tell you, take notes on this because I will say this to your daughters, say this to your sons, say it to your granddaughters, say it to your grandsons, your great daughters, your great granddaughters. I'll tell all your children this. You need to be connected to the kingdom of God because that's the only thing that's going to stand in the earth today. Hallelujah. Tell them all. Give them all to Jesus. I don't know. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. Here's a prophet. Matthew 3 verse 10. This is what he says. Even now, this is John the Baptist, by the way. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree does not bear fruit is cut out, is cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist prophesied that. How many say amen? The prophecy of John. Now, here's the greatest prophet the world has ever seen. Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. I want you to notice that God doesn't say, hey, it's okay to be blended. No, a bad tree is going to produce bad fruit. A good tree is going to produce good fruit. Is that right? Easy for you to say. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Is that okay? Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown where? Into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will what? You'll know them. What kind of fruit is God looking for out of the kingdom? Folks, it's obvious. He has told us the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that he's looking for. Those are the fruits that we're to be filled with. Amen? These are the only fruits that people out there that don't know him are hungering after. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. I'm hungering after them too, man. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. This is what Jesus said. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be what? Uprooted. What do the roots do? They pick up the strength. Is that right? The roots pick up the strength. What you see on the top isn't, I mean, the roots are what does the work. And Jesus is saying, everything, every plant which my Father has not planted will be uprooted. Rebecca was telling me about Hobby Lobby. Is that right? And same with another a company of... there's companies right now that the people that own them are based... they are kingdom-based companies. And these companies are... they are taking off because of the kingdom. You see, there's people been all... you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred to the righteous. You know that. How's it going to... How is that going to happen? It happens by the kingdom. It happens by being rooted in the kingdom, doing things kingdom ways and not worldly ways. Can you say amen to that? We got to get disconnected from the worldly ways that we do things and be doing things kingdom ways. I want to tell you, this company that's building this, it's called Wise Space next door. They send us a donation once a month. They asked me, how much do you want us to give? They wanted to give us rent, and they wanted to lease that piece of property that they've got fenced off. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to put my bookkeepers through it. And I said, no, what you can do is you can donate. He said, all right, how much you want us to donate? Hey, I don't tell anybody how much to donate. I don't tell you how much to give in your offerings. I mean, you got to do that out of your own heart, bro. He said, all right. So they are donating to the church once a month. But I did notice yesterday when I received his donation, there was another letter in there. And not only is his company donating to our church, but he's sending in offerings now to this church. You see, I'm going to tell you, that company right there, that place, they're going to be shooting up because they're connected to the kingdom. Kingdom connected. Kingdom connected. Hey, you work in a place that they don't know. Hey, it's okay. You just do what you're supposed to do. Live in the kingdom. Live in the kingdom and watch what God does. He'll promote you. It could be that God is trying to transform hospitals into kingdom rooted. Can you say amen to that? Could be schools are being transformed by God into kingdom-rooted schools. Because it's getting time, folks. It's getting time. Watch it. Now, listen. Now, Matthew chapter 13 has these parables in it. They got some beautiful parables. And it's got the mustard seed parable. that will grow into a big tree. It's got the hidden leaven that the woman's making bread, and she hides the leaven in it so that the whole can be. It's all talking about the kingdom. It's talking about the kingdom, this hidden leaven. See, there's a little bit come in, right? The seed of the kingdom is a small seed, but it will turns into a tree, talking about the kingdom, talking about the leaven, talking about the pearl. These are all in Matthew 13. Talking about the pearl of great price, talking about a treasure that the guy found in a field, and he sold the field. Oh, he went and bought the field so he can have this treasure. And he talks about the net and the separation of the fish that were caught, drawn in by that net, the good ones and the bad ones. The angels come and they separate it. Folks, we are in a time of separation. Do you believe that? We are at a place in time, folks. Listen, I want you to hear what these guys are, what Jesus is saying here. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' Now listen to what he says. He says, no. But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.' Verse 30 says, 'Let them grow together until the harvest.'" Is that right? "Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Matthew, we're going to skip over a few parables here. We're going to go to 13, 36 through 43. Watch this. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away." He got through talking to them. And he went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is a son of man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are his angels." Folks, we are drawing near to the end of the age. Do you hear what he's saying? Therefore, I mean, you know what? I'm going to stop right there. It has never been this way. When Jesus was saying these things, it was yet to go out into all the world. But now, today, it's all over. The kingdom is all over this world. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that..." What? What are they going to do? They're going to gather all these things that offend. Is this people? Yeah. But also, I will tell you, God is saying these are businesses. These are schools. These are things that God's going to... Man, they are determined by God already, by his word, what he said. They are already determined to fail. Everything that's not connected to this kingdom is going to fail. "Those who practice lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." But look at this, watch this. Because I'm going to say this to you. When I was praying one evening, God said, heaven's not created for man. The earth is created for man. I said, what? What are you talking about? We're all waiting to go to heaven. Yeah. You even said, Lord, you go to prepare a place for you. You know where he's preparing a place for you at? It's called New Jerusalem. That's what it's called. Right now, it is parked in heaven. It's God's RV. Somebody says God's RV. It's parked in heaven, and he prepares a place for you in that RV. And you're going to read it in Revelation, how that RV, God brings it down and sets it right down on the earth. It's 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. It's big. How many say amen to that? How far is it to New York from here? Probably around 1,500, 1,600 miles. This is a big RV. Is that okay? God said, look, I didn't create man for heaven. I created him for the earth. That's why I told him to take dominion over that earth. That's why he said, this kingdom is going to rule this earth. Is that okay? Watch it. Here's the so the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's what I'm going to say to you. Do you have ears to hear this morning? Do you understand what's being spoken to you? I will say this to you. You need to go home and check the word. Look at what was just spoken to you. Read what God's word has said. Don't believe me. Believe him. Believe the word of God. I am just a man. All I am is somebody that God has spoken to speak his word to the church. That's all I am. Ain't nobody. This prophet here, I love this prophet. This is what he said, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Look at this. Folks, we are in this time. We got to realize it. We got to realize that the kingdom is the only thing that we need to be focused on. Who cares what's going on around you out there? What is God saying to you? Here it is right here. Then the kingdom and the dominion. This is what Daniel says. The kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, to the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and all dominions. Where's that? Where'd he say to take dominion? Right here. All dominions shall serve and obey him. Folks, there is a kingdom that God is bringing into the earth. And he's telling us, seek first this kingdom. Seek it first. Now, there might be some of you today that has never heard a word like this. Never heard that God is getting ready to wrap things up. How do you say amen? He's getting ready to do things this world has never seen before. God is seasoning the earth even right now for his soon return for the manifestation of the kingdom. The power verse for today. It's Romans 8:19. It says the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you guys. Ladies, that's you. Sons of God. Can you say amen? We talked about, who was it? Somebody was talking yesterday about being the bride of Christ. Was that right? In the men's meeting, one of the brothers was talking about being the bride of Christ. He says, and he goes, yeah. And he goes, that makes me feel kind of weird, you know, hey, but I'm going to have a husband, you know, and everything. But, but you know, it's the way that God, it's the way God designs things that, you know, hey, women, you're a son of God, not because it has nothing to do with your sexual, whoever you are. It has nothing to do with that. It has only to do with who is dwelling in you. It's the Son of God. That makes you a son and a daughter of God. You can say, you call yourself a daughter, but the Son of God dwells in you. So some of you have never heard a message like this, and I would just like to say a prayer with you this morning. If you would, could you all stand? Jesus came and he died on a cross for the sins of the whole world. All it takes is to believe him that he washed your sins away. All it takes is to believe him that he has made you free. Can everybody say free? He's made you free. There is no reason under heaven, if God has made you free, for you to be captive by anything that is contrary to his kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Amen. There are things out there, there are trappings out there that are trying to pull on you and trying to drag you in and everything. But there is nothing under this, in this heaven, that has power over what God has done for you. Can you say amen to that? The blood of Christ washes you totally and completely. If you believe it, if you accept it. So this morning, would you just bow your heads just for a second? And I would like everybody in the church to pray. And if somebody that doesn't know Jesus, these words, please, please consider them. Give your heart to the Lord. For God's sake, for your sake, give your heart to him. Say these words, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I commit my life to you. I ask you, Lord, to lead me and guide me. Take me to where I must go for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. If you have never accepted Christ in your heart and you said those words with your whole heart, folks, you are saved. You are washed. You're cleansed. Chains are broken off of you. There's nothing in this earth that can hold you, that can keep you from God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.